free, young hearts run free, young hearts run free, young hearts run free, young hearts run free!
Big welcome back to the Young Hearts Run 3 podcast. You join us for episode 16, season 10, and it's a big welcome back to the motherland for a rather travel-weary Mr. John Cassidy. How are we doing, John?
I'm doing really well, man. My voice is a wee bit Barry White after travelling on an aeroplane for a wee bit gravelly. But anyway, that can just add to the story, Stevie boy. I'm good. Nice to be back. Nice to see you.
Nice to hear you back. Kind of missed you last couple of weeks. We kind of had the bases covered with a few episodes because we didn't want a pause in service. So, yeah.
Can I say something about that, actually? Because it was nice. Very rarely we get caught up. We enjoy doing this. But it's different when you're only doing it and you're actually listening to stuff or seeing the social media stuff as a listener, if you like.
Consumer.
Consumer, yeah. And I've got to say, massive thank you, everybody, for their feedback and interactions on the last two episodes that I went to Beluga Lagoon, which was totally unpredictable, which is how we're rolling. But the feedback for that, I think we've picked up a few new listeners too from the musical side of things, which is brilliant. And you obviously had the weekend of weekends to meet up with your man as well. I'm not talking about Bobby Burt, I'm talking about Andrew O'Donnell, which was brilliant. And then last week's episode, which we knew was going to be a belter, but the response to Bob Keenan's has been brilliant as well. A brilliant, honest story. And it's been great. There's been a lot of folk being in touch saying it's really resonated with them. So thank you all very much for the people that have. And thank you all the listeners. But the last two, they have been a wee bit different for me because I've been away. Mm-hmm. And you, as you say, consuming. So I think it's important to say that. That's what we're all about, putting out content that matters. And I think we've done that pretty well.
Definitely. I think on the feedback on Bob's episode, you know, in terms of the honesty and the story that he told and how he's come through it. Okay, maybe we've not all been there and things like that, but the way that Bob kind of just went through that story has really hit home with a lot of folk. And and also, his dialect dictionary word dreepy, it actually seems to be a quite well-known word in the West Coast.
Aye.
So, brilliant. I know. And I think, was it Lindsay McLaughlin had mentioned that she kind of knew what it was? Like,
Bunty's done many a dreepy, I think.
We're kind of saying that maybe that could be the finish on ultramarathon, a dreepy to finish the ultramarathon,
wouldn't surprise me if Jedburgh Three Peaks start thinking about doing something like that. That's your kind of bag, isn't it?
Exactly. So we've not got a guest this week. Well, we have. We've got two. It's called John and Stevie Boy. Some of yous will be doing cartwheels, other yous will be going two hands on your face. but we are going to be focusing on John's escapades up the West Highland Way at the Highland Fling. That's going to dominate our conversations today on that experience. But before we get going with that, John, I want to wish the folk starting the Cape Wrath Ultra this Sunday all the best. It's looks like it's a life experience.
Definitely. Is it over 6 or 8 days? Can you remind me? It's one of them, isn't it?
It is one of them. And there's tough days and then there's days that are less tough. I don't want to say easy.
Aye. It's one of these multi-day events. And as you say, where it is on the planet is brilliant. Remember, we spoke to a couple of people that have done that trail.
Yep.
And it's life-changing for them because you're going through all sorts of physical demands, mental demands, and I think there's a big emotional thing happens at the end. That happens at the end of most ultras, but I think given the location that you're in, There's a beachy bit, isn't there? I'm going to call it like Sandalwood Bay. It's maybe not called that. It's something like that. It's something like that. But going across there towards the finish and to get to that lighthouse will be quite a magnificent thing. So, yeah, good shout mentioning that. Quite an extreme adventure.
Yeah, and best of luck to Linda, our pal, who's saying it as a huge, huge challenge. Linda, getting a booking. 8 days.
8 days. Cool. Okay.
400 kilometres.
I'm glad you clarified that, because six is a wee bit short-changing, isn't it? So it's 8 days, definitely. Yeah. So makes it even tougher, 8 days. But it's not as tough as Linda. So bring it on.
Definitely. She has got that in her locker. John, wait a minute. You've come back to some nice warm weather here, haven't you?
Close to.
It's nice. I just want to remind folk that it's all right at the moment if your runs feel a bit tougher, right? Because running in the warm weather, it just changes how your body reacts to things. So it's just a wee aside. I'm feeling it myself, to be honest. It was almost my get out clause. But if your heart rate's up a wee bit or runs are feeling a wee bit tougher at the moment, it's because the temperature's kind of whacked up at almost 10 degrees.
Well, you know, we'll speak about that when we speak about the fling, because that's when the big shiny ball in the sky rocked up for me for the first time this year. And I thought a lot about Stuart Johnson, who won the West Highland Way race last year, and about how he spoke about how we can adapt and train for that type of warm weather living in Scotland. A lot of folk think you can't train for the heat living in Scotland. Well, Stuart told us that you can. But yeah, if you're finding it warm, enjoy it. Slow down a wee bit. Get plenty of fluids in, you know? So
exactly.
Yeah.
Near fluids. Dip the expectations a wee bit. Let your body adapt and save the... It could be like that on race day. That's always the one that you're ringing in your lugs, eh? So
we often talk about it being pissing with rain on race day, but it could be like that on race day, good in training. It could also be roasting hot on race day. Which is a different, we'll speak about it, and we've spoken about it before, it brings a different challenge altogether.
Definitely. Right, John, anything else we have to cover before we get touring about the Highland Fling?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay, so, pre-race, expectations, what were you thinking?
I did the Highland Fling in 2019, I think it was. No, it couldn't have been that. Must have been 2017. Can't you? I can't. 2015 even. Jesus.
You did it in a 4-year spell at some point in his life.
So, it was 2015 I'd done it. I remember because I spoke to Johnny Duncan, recently up at Tindrum, and I thanked him for the hoodies and the T-shirts being a fine shade of forest green this year. And I said, the last thing I got was yellow. And it was 2015, I think, I did it. And the reason I'm mentioning that is my finish time in 2015 was 13 hours and 57 minutes.
Sorry?
13:57 in 2015. I was hoping this year, talking about expectations, to get an hour with a 12. I was hoping it was going to start with a 12. And I think I'd said before I went into this that I'd never been in better shape for doing an ultra marathon or a trail event. And that was the case when I was standing at Mulgay on the start line feeling good. But Friday night, rocked up to registration. And now I'm going to mention a few names, but I apologise right now for not getting everybody's name, because there was so many people that we now know because of this podcast. That if we were always going to do was mention names, that would be your hour there. Honestly, it was fantastic. Like a who's who with the running community. It was fantastic. But rocked up at registration and it was brilliant. Right outside, Lucy Colquhoun, Women's West Highland Way course record holder. Lucy was there doing a thing. They were doing a shoe drop thing where you could drop off your old running shoes. So it was lovely to get a bit of time with Lucy. But in and out of registration, in about 5 minutes, There was a story emerging there as well, a pattern emerging. But I dropped in some Young Hearts Run Free pin badges at the table. They were snaffled quite quick as well. So, but registration was good. Got a decent kip on the Friday night. Aye, it was all right.
And now, it's a
sorry, here you go.
6 o'clock start on the Saturday morning.
6 o'clock start. The only thing it let me do, Stephen, and I'll be apology for getting manky, if you want. I never got a good enough number two in the morning. There you go.
That okay. Was... So bombs away, didn't they quite
not
go
quite
to plan?
And not, not quite.
For listeners' benefit, John and I, especially before we're doing a big training run or indeed the actual race, we like to communicate this natural phenomenon that puts a spring in your step.
It certainly does. So, and sometimes it's like, oh yeah, boy, I'm on two number twos, which is a bonus.
We're number three, aren't we? Absolutely. We could bust the world record today.
But it's an amazing thing how it plays on your mind if you do or didn't have that release. So that wasn't the best start, but that's the only thing that hadn't been ticked, if you like. Everything else was good to go. Yeah.
Okay. And it's a special place, the start line of the Highland Fling. It's got that usual pre-race anticipation and everybody's well-trained, well-honed.
It's brilliant. It's electric, man. And you get down there, you drop off your bags, bag for the finish as well, which I'd never really done before. But I couldn't drop off my bag for the finish because I got a message for Alan O'Rourke for the Greenock Glen Park Harriers saying, I'll meet you at the start in the morning. So he said he was bringing some swag for us, Stevie boy. I've still got yours. Aye, because the thing with the tie, I was meeting Alan to get the tie, but he'd also brought some other stuff that I couldn't obviously carry, so I couldn't put my bag in. So I'm getting a wee bit tense because you need your fanny about time, eh?
Fanny about time is, and that fanny about time is the time that just goes like an heartbeat. Yeah, I've got 25 minutes fanny about time, and then all of a sudden you've got 3 minutes.
Aye, Johnny Flings on top of a van going to do his race briefing. You're like, ah! But Alan, I met Alan and Kirsty for Green at Glen Park about, I don't know, must have been 25 past, half past five. And he was laughing. He said, you didn't hate to wear the tie. I'm like, give me the tie. So the tie got put on about half past five in the morning and it came off on the red carpet, running down the red carpet. I had it on all day. My neck was roasting all day. But got to say a big thank you as well. I've missed a lot of stuff and a lot of stuff been in my head. Kev and Cheryl on the Green at Glen Park podcast, I really enjoyed doing that. I don't know if we spoke about that much, but I really enjoyed doing that. But that's where the me, you know, keeping my mouth shut thing, lesson learned, probably not, came for wearing that tie all day. And I've had some great feedback from some of the Green at Glen Park Harriers. You know, just about that. I think I've actually claimed to be an honorary member now.
Have you?
Yes, I am.
You'll be at that prize given next year, isn't it?
I'm expecting a prize.
Well, I was going to say, you've already got a prize, a Greenock Glen Park Harriers tie.
You've got in and all, by the way. But you like it. You like it because it's almost like a Saints thing, you know? And what a day to talk about that. Happy 17th of May, everybody, for those who celebrate. So there you go.
That's a reference to a successful period in my beloved football team's history. Thanks.
So big, sorry, man. Sorry.
That's all right. Thanks for that, John. Yeah. Big up the Greenock Glen Park Harriers. I say wee cob, but aye, they're no wee. So thanks for having us on and for your candid spirit. Yeah.
And the start line though was as you were talking about, it's quite electric there, you know. Uh-huh. And I was determined in my head, I had a chat with Coach Fiona. Didn't go off like a dafty. Didn't go mental. So got, I was in the pen, I think between 12 and 13 years was where I wanted to be, you know. So I went, I was trying to go Kilkenny at the start. I think I got that right, actually. I think that played it no bad. And then started at six, and then there's loads of folk there taking 40s and all that sort of stuff, and it's absolutely brilliant. But it doesn't take that long to actually get on the West Highland Way, and you're away a wee bit chilly as well. So I'm glad I had my rainbow arm sleeves on, Stephen.
Duly spotted.
Aye.
John likes to just blend into the background. You wouldn't really notice him if you didn't, if you were working too hard. All right. So you were running companions. Did you have a sidekick?
There was a few up and downs spotted. I stopped to take a 40. There was a misty loch bit. I stopped to take a 40. A few folk went past. John Robb, Jamie Marshall went past there. But most of the day was spent with Rachel McPherson. We'd done a few recces, West Highland Way recces, and although we both, can you get that hang you're running with somebody, I'm not wanting to hug you back type thing.
Uh-huh.
We sort of got in a bit of a groove, and it just, good crack, felt good, pace was all right. So we just chummed along, and it was bro. Meeting other people along the way as well. There's loads of folk wearing like Wild Heart Runners buff, Young Hearts Run Free buffs. So
Wait a minute.
Uh-huh, on you go, sorry.
Was there more Young Hearts Run Free buffs than Wild Heart Runners buffs?
Oh, 100%, man. 100%.
Okay. That's fine. We didn't want those pair getting too ahead of themselves, you know? Like the world takeover is on.
But I had a good chat with, not a good chat, you have chat with people saying, when you spot them, and I think that's been the beauty, folk have said that actually, that the beauty of Young Hearts Run Free buffs, is that it gives folk a connection. You know, they spot someone familiar and it gets folk chatting. And there was loads of people. I was trying my best not to hand out stickers as I was running or as I was moving, but inevitably the chat turned to, are you that guy for the podcast? I went, no, it's not me.
But, it's not a doppelganger.
But I ended up handing out some stuff, handing out quite a lot. It'll come to that. Remind me about that at Inversnaid.
Okay.
My sticker. I'll be stickerless after that. But yeah, that was brilliant. Really good.
And so you're up in the Conic Hill. You do that first bitty, and it's just, it's a nice run to Drimmin, but it's the gateway to the real stuff.
It is, and a lot of folk, and I'm not being disrespectful, a lot of folk have called that bit boring. I really enjoy it, because it's a good warm-up, you know, and I was cheating it that way. I'd done a recce with Rachel, Tracy Fulp, and Gillian McGill. We ran for Mogai to Balmaha, probably about a month. It felt like a month before, wasn't even as long as that. And I felt good that day, but I felt Gillian was pushing me, as is her wont. She was pushing me a wee bit hard, getting me up the hills and all that sort of stuff. And I thought, I could struggle every day this on race day. So I pulled it back a wee bit. So go to Conic Hill feeling all right. I'm never going to run up Conic Hill. So it was hiking it, you know. And I've got to say, the coming down on the other side, they seem to have improved the path since the last time I was there. It felt okay. But I was just walking doing that. I think I said the last time how far it was, 0.7 of a mile or something like that. So when I got off of Conic Hill and you go through that wee foresty bit before you get to the checkpoint, I was feeling really good there. Absolutely strong. Looking forward to a chip roll, Stevie Pye. So,
wait a minute. So that you're 20 miles in at Balmaha.
Yeah,
that's that checkpoint. Just for, we're assuming that everybody knows exactly what the intimate details of the Highland Fling are. Keeping in mind, nobody does. There is normal people out there. So first, well, there's a checkpoint at Drimmin, isn't there? Just a
timing checkpoint.
Timing checkpoint. Yeah, the first sort of aid station per se is at Balmaha, 20 miles in, and you're hitting that, John. I'm assuming. 4 hours or so in. At 10 o'clock, mid-morning.
Aye-ish. I wasn't that worried about time, man, to be honest. No. But it was just over 4 hours, I remember. But here, this is the bit that's really, really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Checkpoint management. Phenomenal. For me, spot on. I'm normally sitting down on a seat. I'm looking for a seat. Sitting down, saying to folk, how you doing? You all right? How's your day panning it? You know? What you got in your drop bag? Let's talk about that. Got into Drimmin. No, Drimmin, sorry. Got into Balmaha. And you can what it's like. The buzz is phenomenal because it's the first time you're seeing people. But Sharon, is it Sharon Law, Debbie Kinsani's pal?
Yep.
Sharon was getting, she's saying to folk, right, get your ass out of here, you know, get your stuff in the way. And I got in, Nikki Sheridan was on the water. She spotted me, she says, John, get your water here. So topped up with Tailwind, 2 water bottles, got my drop bag, literally walked the length of the car park and I was away, less than 5 minutes. So I was really, really pleased with it. Aye, it was really, really happy for that.
You often see the evolution of an F1 pit stop over the years from when they used to do it in the 80s and 90s and it took them like 25 seconds and now it takes them like 3 seconds to do the same amount of stuff. I'm comparing this improvement for you because you would have been 15 minutes.
Oh, easy. Easy. But my Balmaha previously probably started walking, coming down through that forest, but I would have started walking thinking, right, I'll get in here, take my time, get myself all sorted and all that. This time I ran all the way through that forest, didn't the car park. My focus was in and out. Let's go.
Well, I'm proud of you, John.
Thanks and very much, man.
What the crucial question is, what was in that first drop bag?
Chip roll. A cold chip roll. There's work to be done there.
Wait a minute, right. We need detail here that folk are going, right, what kind of chips?
They were steak cut chips for Tesco's. They're the ones I like the
air fryer.
No, I've done them in the oven.
Okay.
On the Friday, and that's the lesson learned. I've got to play about with the lashings of butter for the moistness.
Yeah.
They were kind of dry. Balmaha was all right, but so I had one in each drop bag, a chip roll in each drop bag.
Okay, salt on that.
Salt. Rock salt was on there and tomato sauce.
Tomato and Norpark or Lurpak, did you?
Lurpak.
Push the boat out for Lurpak. Nay, Norpak.
Nay fucking about Stevie Boy. This is wasty.
So, that's like me going on the Morton gels.
So I'd made 6. Two got lost on the way down, right? So that's what happens, man. That's what happens. But there was one in each drop bag. The Balmaha one was consumed perfectly well. It was all good. So, yeah.
Okay, right. So, and then we're hitting the lock side proper, but you're at the side of Loch Lomond now. And it is a bit bumpy in places up there. There's more elevation than you think. Every time you go back on it, you go, can't remember it being this hilly last time. But
no. I've got to give a shout out actually to the Pylon race crew folk, because you mentioned the elevation. The first thing you do is you get slung up a hill when you leave the Balmaha car park. And at the top of that hill, there was all the Pylon crew were up there giving it loudy. And that certainly gave me a wee lift as you went through there. They sort of welcomed you in and then spat you out, if you know what I mean. The Pylon people at the top of the hill. And then you're hitting the lock side. The only wee bit I didn't like about the lock side was you go across that wee beachy bit, and I'm not a fan of sand, man. And I started imagining sand in my sock. I don't know if it was there, but I started imagining it. And the mind's a powerful thing, eh? So also became apparent at that time that it was getting kind of warm. You know, the heat was coming in. And it reminded me of my 2015 race. It was running about here. I took a salt tablet for the first time in my life. And
that was the ones that you stuck up your bum rather than ate.
Aye, I gave them to you because I couldn't take.
I know. Honestly, man, I wasn't sure what you were meant to do with those bad boys. In fact, I've still got them, John.
Aye, throw them out. But they were that big, eh? You know what I mean? And they were caplets. Like, you couldn't even take half of one.
No. I don't know if they're for oral consumption. I'm still not 100% convinced
That on 2015, I never recovered to about the Tuesday or Wednesday after it, man. Seriously. So, but all that was going through my head, and it was getting hot, and I was thinking, right, what am I going to do here? Later on, that became more of an issue. But I was all right. I was okay. But I was really happy with that as well, about adapting to it. And I think that's when my first thoughts about, what was Stuart Johnson do? You know, so all that sort of stuff.
You know? What would Stuart Johnson do? That sounds like a good title for a unmade movie. I'll message him and ask him.
he'd probably have it all planned already, because I was being adaptable. That was quite a big part of my day.
So what did John Cassidy do?
John Cassidy made the decision to get as much fluids in as he could. I made the decision then to monitor more than I normally would about how I was feeling and what was happening. Already, my appetite was starting to go for eating whole food. Going through Rower, actually, when we got to Rower Denning, in and out of Rower Denning as well, pretty quick. I had two 500ml flasks. One always had tailwind in it, and the other end had just water. But what I did, this was the first time at Rower Denning, I made the decision to drink a whole 500ml flask while I was standing there to get water in.
Okay.
So I was doing that, and then up and away up the high road out of Rower Denning. So that's when I started taking in more water, because it wasn't like roasting hot. I seen John O'Donnell on the course. It wasn't John O'Donnell roasting hot, but it was hot for Scotland.
And it was a bit humid and clammy. It was, it rather than, you know, in the 20s, it was mere.
No, you're right. Humid and clammy. I was sweating buckets. Let's put it that way. My hair was clapped to my head, Stevie boy.
Okay. So. And just as a quick aside, a quick offshoot, undercarriage, obliterators, everything in good order down there.
Fine. Well lubed up. Everything was hunky-dory. Everything was at the finish as it was at the start.
Brilliant. That's the questions that people want answers to. So you're making your way up towards Inversnaid. Incident three?
Yeah, it was a good run. I was getting to the point where that lack of appetite for whole food wasn't becoming an issue. I was aware of it. So I was taking gels more. I had a few gels with me. I had tablet, I had fudge, the things that just melt in your mouth, you didn't hate to think about, you know. But I was thinking as well, I didn't have enough with this gear to get me to the finish, to get me to Tindrum. I didn't have enough of it. So I was using that quite sparingly. And then that all changed at Inversnaid. But going along the loch side was good. We started catching up with a few of the folk that started at 5 o'clock. As well, this was the first time they'd done that on the fling.
And that was for people who were forecasting that they were going to be, you know, skirting with
14, 15 hours
cut off. Aye, so their predicted time was high, and they got an opportunity to run at 5. I know that there's been some mild discussion about it and such like, but inclusivity.
Yeah, there's opinions. There's opinions around that, and everybody's entitled to that. But what I would say is, massive kudos to the race team for experimenting with that and giving it a go, you know.
Yep, I agree.
So we started catching up with people on the loch side. I just loved it. You didn't get a lot of shade on that loch side, man. Although it's quite foresty, the sun was that strong that there wasn't that much shade. And I was really looking forward to getting to Inversnaid. I've got to give him a shout out, man. Just pre-Inversnaid, Wendy Wilson's there. And I must have been, you know, I can talk a bit, but he must have heard me and he went, oh, I recognise that voice. And bellowing through the forest, windy style. But he was doing all right, man. And he got there and he got his finish done. He was saying he was struggling with the heat as well. A lot of people were starting to struggle with the heat. It was a factor for a lot of folk. And that got more apparent throughout the day, you know. So
I was going to just confirm, validate what you were saying there. People that I've either spoken to or read the race reports or even on social media and things like that, I think that's a recurring theme, was the latter stages as the sun or the temperature reached its height, was just timed in with what a tough, it's going to be an inevitable tough latter stage anyway for most humans. And it's gotten to most of the field, I think.
But you know what? If it was easy, Obdi would do it, right? And it's about the whole point of ultramarathons is to test yourself. Sorry, my opinion. See what you're all about. Challenge your body and your mind. And the Flying delivered that this year, certainly for me and for a lot of other folk too. And for some folk who maybe didn't finish, hopefully what they'll do is they'll say, okay, what could I do differently? And they'll go away and they'll learn some lessons and think about some stuff and go back and get that job done, because there'll be other times to do it. So I know what it's like if you didn't finish. You feel a right sort of downer, but flip it into a positive. You know, you can do that. So,
yeah, you definitely can. We've been there. The Inversnaid checkpoint, you said earlier that you wanted to come back to Inversnaid. Is this where a photograph of you was taken when you were sort of almost casting your eye over the table of unused drop bag contents?
Brilliant, man. Two things I want to say on that. Folk really need to have a wee think, myself included, about what they put in a drop bag. The amount of stuff that was there could have fed a small village. Honestly, it was to my benefit, because there's always something on there that somebody else has heard that you think, oh, I fancy a bit of that. Do you know what I mean? But what I was doing, and that photograph, Fiona Rennie, thank you so much, Fiona. She took a couple of brilliant photographs for me that day, and everybody else. Sorry, self-indulgent John. But that photograph of me looking at the Purvey at Inversnaid, what I was actually looking for there was SIS gels. They're the ones that I've been using since Manchester last year. The ones I know work for me, didn't upset my tummy. So I was rattling through and trying to find SIS gels, of which I found half a dozen at Inversnaid. And I thought, that's getting me to Bean Glass. You know, I'm sorted. Changes your mind, gives you a lift. And the Inversnaid as well, I think if his name's wrong, I'm sorry. Mike Cordner, I think, was his name. He said, do you any Young Hearts Run Free stickers? And I was at that point in my head, looking through all this stuff. I was like, aye, no bother. I just put my hand in my pocket, took the hail water, and I went, there you go. Just scatter them as much as you want. So I had no stickers left. And I think Mike did that. I think he was quite happy that the stickers were there. So, and I heard them shouting, actually. Somebody was saying, oh, can we just help ourselves to the stuff on this table? He went, aye, and there's Young Hearts Run Free stickers as well. So there you go. I'm maybe making some folk happy, give them a wee lift. But again, Inversnaid, fill the bottles, get your drop bag. Now it's like, get the stuff off the table, the scavenger table, and away. Less than 5 minutes again. Really happy with that.
Well done. There's 20 minutes saved on aid station efficiencies.
Definitely.
Magic. Definitely. And then we're tackling the real oxide now, the gnarly bitty, shall we describe it, as between Inversnaid and Bean Glass. The, I don't know, is it a 4 mile stretch in particular, maybe, that's...
Aye, it is. Although I think the actual technical bit, it's about a mile and a half, something like that. But I'd love to be drone footage of the fast folk going up there. To actually see what they do. Do you know what I mean? They could have a drone go along the riverside with a lockside with them. because I just kind of get in my head how folk can motor along there. So, but as is my way in my head now, is just keep moving. Move as fast as you can with purpose. Because my appetite had gone. Mm-hmm. I didn't need to worry about that. I was taking gels when I could. And there was wee groups of folk. We were to and from with, so it was a wee bit of chat, and it's always nice to chat to different people as well. But the focus then was like, let's just get this done, get to Dario's post. And for Dario's post at the top of Loch Lomond, you've got a wee bit of a downhill into Bean Glass, you know? So,
yeah,
you do. It's a nice view. So I'm just going to say it was quite uneventful because it was the case of keeping moving. Do you know what I mean? So,
That's and you're hitting Bean Glass. What are you, a half marathon to go for there, roughly?
I think so, aye.
Yeah.
I think, aye. I'd be about that. Be about that. I think my math could be wrong, but I think you're right. Aye.
It's about that anyway. Yeah, yeah. And you've got a wee drag, haven't you, up to Craonlarich way. Mm-hmm. It's no a hill as such, but it's a constant wee uphill.
Undulating, Stevie boy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to give a shout out to Bean Glass. Yeah. Lee Campbell was there. Lee's the guy that control Alt de Lee.
Yep.
He's the guy that does a lot of the runs in the Pentlands with the EHC milers. Lee was marshalling there, and it was absolutely fantastic to see Lee. You know, that human contact thing, you know, when you see humans and you get that lift, it's, you can't put a price on that. Lee delivered that at Bean Glass. It was also the longest, still less than 10 minutes, I was at a checkpoint, because there the sandy feeling was in my head and my shoes. So I took my shoes off, had the Injinji toe socks on, turned them inside out, gave them a wee clean and put them back on. But that took all in all about 10 minutes. They also had full fat Coke at Bean Glass. So I was rattling that down my neck as much as I could.
Coca-Cola, like original.
No, the real deal. The real deal, man. Aye. So fair play to them having that.
That is 5-star.
Aye. Aye. It was brilliant. So, but always aware of time.
Mark Lathwaite.
Exactly that, man. But always aware of time. Wanting to get going as well. I'm now thinking as well, I've booked myself on this 8 o'clock bus. Right? So that's starting to play in your head. You know, doing the maths with the time as well. But next stop was Craonlarich, yeah. To go.
Okay. And temperatures are ramping up now, but you're adapting by the sounds of it. You're taking on a wee bit of more hydration to offset the factors of the day.
And talking about hydration as well, and that salt tablet, that was been in my head since the last time. But Rachel had salt, so she very kindly gave me some salt, but I wasn't able to take too much. Mm-hmm. So wee bit now and again. And now no, it worked out all right. So that was a good shout. And it was just on gels. Did I have a chip roll there? I did have a chip roll, but I think I just stuck it right in the bin. I didn't even put it on the table because nobody's wanting that. The sort of nick it was in. So picked up some more gels. I picked up whoever left the black SIS orange flavoured gel at Bean Glass that had 40 grams of carbs in it. Thank you very, very much. I think it was a beta one or something that was called.
Yeah, I know the ones you mean.
Yeah. So that was a game changer later on. Between Bean Glass and Craonlarich, I'd been on the Wild Heart Runners, it's a second plug they're getting the day, for their recce for Tindrum, or the day out, their social run for Tindrum back. And on that day, it was a 5-hour run, but I ran for 2 hours. And I remember where I was when I turned around at 2 hours that day. And I knew in my head, what I was starting to play in my head was, if I can get there and get up the road in two and a half hours, this would be a good day. So we got to that point And I was thinking, how am I feeling? I'm actually feeling all right here. And I was feeling all right all day. You have highs and lows and you get pissed off with yourself when things aren't going quite right, but this too shall pass. You know you're going to come out of it. And it was a fair bit of that. And between Rachel can talk just about as much as us, maybe more at some times. So there was always some chat going, and that just lifts your spirits as well, you know? And then you mentioned about Key and Larrick. It is a bit up and down, but it is more of an up, and you get to Bogle Glen.
Yep.
End of Bogle Glen, Jenny Reese Jenkins is there, right? Manning the checkpoint. There's a bit there as well. And other people too. Sorry if I can't remember your name. But Jenny sort of come out about 20 yards or something. I got a big hug for Jenny Reese Jenkins. That's a massive lift.
That's Debbie Martin.
Oh, man. Debbie Martin Kinsani's there. She swore at me, I think, at some point. Got a hug.
I'm sure she got some footage of you.
She did. Rachel did one of the big jumps, and then Debbie's encouraging me to do it. I'm like, I couldn't do that fresh. I'm not even going to try it here. So, but I got a hug for Debbie there. And again, it's that human spirit thing. Debbie's one that talks about taking souls quite a lot. But in actual fact, how do I feel emotional? I feel quite emotional. I think Debbie gave me a bit of her soul right there. You know, it gave you a right lift. And then you're on that roller coaster that previously on the Fling and on the West Highland Way, I absolutely hated it. But this was different. I'd taken that 40 gram gel thing. For me, Stevie boy, I was flying, man. Honestly, flying. And you've got about, what have you got for there? 6 mile to go? Honestly, it was the best I felt all day. It might be that seeing Jenny and Debbie, it might be the 6 miles to go, the realisation that the end is in sight. A lot of it would be that gel as well. But it's probably all that stuff together. But I actually felt on top of the world. I was having a great time. It was brilliant.
I think it's maybe testimony to how you were adapting to the conditions and keeping fueled, and you're not hitting that complete purgatory stage by the sounds of it. And when you're 6 miles, it's something that we speak about a lot. You start sensing the, wait a minute, finish line isn't that far away. I can almost smell the post-race scran. So,
definitely.
Yeah, and once you get over the ups and downs of the roller coaster section you described, then you've got, 2-3 miles to Tindrum?
You cross
easier going?
Cross the A82, and then you go in. Who was there now? Who was there? David Downey, Alison Downey, Ross Beveridge on that road crossing.
What a trio.
Aye, they were there on that road crossing. So always lovely to see people that you know as well and encouraging, and they've been out there all day, man. It's just phenomenal doing that. And then you're right, it is easier then because you get on the flat into that wee farm bit.
Yeah.
And then you're pretty much, it's flat air, shall we say, all the way to Tindrum. So the hard work's done. It's just a case of keep moving, you know?
Keep dreaming of that finish line.
Mm.
So let's fast forward to the red carpet. It's a special thing, the finish line of the Highland Fling. What the race team have created there is, I think, it's easy to kind of overuse it. It's become iconic in the Scottish Ultra Marathon scene and beyond, let's be honest. It should be experienced by anybody who fancies doing a 50 plus miler at any stage. That would be my.
Definitely.
So, however, John's experience in 2015 compared to John's experience in 2024 or the red carpet?
They were both fantastic. However, I learned from 2015 to take it in, you know, and I think it might have been actually one of my reasons for wanting to go back and do the fling, to experience that again. It's quite a phenomenal feeling. You're going along, I don't know if it's a river or a burn, but you're going along there, and I seen Shona Gray, Tam Gray, that lives up the road from me, he was doing the fling as well. I passed Tam coming down the roller coaster, so I knew he wasn't far behind me, and I seen him later on coming round with his kids, sharing the carpet with his kids. It's a great thing. I seen you do that, you know, really, it's an emotional thing. A lot of people do that. Some folk even take their dogs and all that sort of stuff. Fair, but it's brilliant. It's a really special thing. But going along there, along that riverside, you get the Piper at the end as well. And then Jamie Marshall went past me like a fucking speed train going along there. It was good to see him because he hadn't been feeling that great earlier on.
Uh-huh.
But he'd recovered. He had a really strong finish as well. But then that red cap, I really do get emotional even thinking about that, man. You come in, and I thought I knew what was coming, you know, but you can never prepare for it. And I said to Rachel, you crack on and take on that red carpet and enjoy it. So I let her go, right?
I was going to ask that because I was observing your times, and I was like, did Rachel just sprint away for you? I'm like, that's no Rachel. So chivalry isn't dead. Well done, John.
I think it's that you're talking about 2015. I remember that and seeing some of the photographs before, and I think if you can get that red carpet to yourself,
aye,
let's make that happen. So
it's going to give you plenty of content, isn't it?
Aye. So I'd drop back to a walk for 20 seconds or something. So she's been there and she's got that time for herself. I'm not even thinking. I'm getting it to myself and all. But I got to the start of the red carpet, and the guy, you had to dip in at the start. I'm not quite sure what that was about. Uh-huh. And then I'm going down there and I'm thinking, right, at last I can take off this feckin' green neck tie, right? So I took the tie off and I started swinging it around my head. And there was loads of people, and then loads of folks shouting, not just for me, for everybody. But the only people I remember seeing on the sides was Tony and Jillian McGill. And they've played a massive part. It's amazing how this podcast has brought us in contact with people. But as you know, for the West Island Way, I ended up supporting Jillian on her West Island Way day, and we've become really good pals.
Aye, just had a wee holiday together down in the Lake District this year.
Aye, so Jillian and Tony have been so supportive and encouraging. I don't think they can, they are. Like, they're just being nice people. But I don't think they understand how much they've actually inspired me. Didn't he greet John? But I might. That's all right. But to see them at the finish, man, it was really special. And then there's a brilliant photograph. I wish I could remember who took it now. I did give him credit on Instagram. But there's a photograph, and it's me coming to finish. Tony's on the left-hand side of the photo with a massive smile. And on the right-hand side, you didn't see Jillian, but you see an outstretched hand. And I know that's Jillian's outstretched hand for a high five. And it's just captured perfectly how I was feeling at that moment. Really proud of myself, but nice to share it with some lovely people as well. So
brilliant. And if you're on our socials, Instagram and Twitter, X, that you'll have seen some of that sensational finish line footage that was captured by John coming over the finish line. And if that doesn't instill a sense of, I wouldn't mind a bit of that into you, then I don't know what will. It was, yeah, we were all there with you, John, although I wasn't able to be there with you, John.
Oh, you're always with me, man. You're always there.
But it was brilliant to see that play out, and you to cross that finish line in, well, comfortable state would be one way of putting it. You were also euphoric at that time. But
I often let a roar out. I didn't care where that comes from. I didn't plan doing that, but it's just that celebration of I've done this. But you've seen me at finish lines ultra marathons. 9 times out of 10 look like a bag of shit. You know, and I do, because I've given what I have and I'm empty. But I'd given what I could at the fling, but I felt euphoric, man. I felt really good. And I think that's down to the training I'd done, thanks to Fiona, but also how I adapted and was flexible and made good decisions on the day. You know, but the pacing was spot on, delighted with it. My finish time was 13 hours and 38 minutes. So I never got my 12 hours, something that I wanted, but to have had the race day experience that I had and to finish feeling strong, I'm absolutely delighted. And I think that hopefully is what comes across in that video. I think it was Lee Campbell as well who'd made his up to the finish. Thank you, Lee, for capturing that as well. And what was I going to say? There was something else I was going to say there. No, it's gone. It might come back, but it was brilliant. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Thank you to everybody who's messaged me post the fling. A lot of it on the back of that video. It really means a lot. Oh, man, didn't I get emotional? Everything is going to be okay, Stevie boy.
Everything is okay. It was 9 years between your flings, and you've knocked it out the park as far as we're all concerned. Setting yourself up, you've already built really, really strong foundations over the winter and springtime, and hopefully that performance at the fling, you know, gives you the confidence to go to that next level, which is going to be demanded of you over the next few months, with what you've got targeted and Lakeland hundreds and such like. But what a great start to the year you've had between your training and racing. Post finish line, they dip. You still buzzing? Everything?
I was alright. The only letdown was I never got to sample any scran because we were really tight for the bus.
Okay.
You know, getting on that bus. Yeah. But
22 minutes later, the bus was leaving.
Exactly. I've got to say a thank you to Suzanne Lumsden and Lorna McMillan, who I'd, in my euphoric state, was like, get me on the bus at 10 o'clock. I'm not going home at 8, right? And they were away making changes and then thought, wait a minute, it's an hour and a half down the road. So I ended up saying, no, we're getting the 8 o'clock bus. So we did get on that 8 o'clock bus. And I'm really happy about that. And I'll tell you why in a minute. So it was a case of finish line, get your stuff together, buzz in, a few photographs, and then on the bus. But yeah, everything was feeling great. You're a wee bit achy, but one wee blister on my middle toe on my right foot that went away at sale after 2 days. Take that after 53 miles.
Were you running in Scott's?
Scott Supertrack RC2s. Thank you, Debbie Martin Kinsani, for recommending these shoes. They've been a game changer.
Game changers are plenty in this episode, folks.
That's it, man.
And then, of course, post race, you were basically just back in the country for your immediately away on a fantastically memorable trip. To Bethana. Is that what they call it?
It is, aye. Nelson's bit. That's what I call it. But you know what? Things I would change. Work, before I went away, before the fling, work was really busy. And I think I'd sort of crammed a lot of stuff in knowing I was going away on holiday. I would have a less busy week at work if I could change that. But all in all, delighted with how preparation and race execution worked. Let me tell you that wee story about the bus. When you get on the bus down the road, everybody's kind of knackered. Sorry, I've just remembered, literally remembered. Neil McNichol was standing with a false moustache, like a bus conductor, getting folk on the bus. Oh, I just remember. Who was that guy off on the buses? What was his name?
I know the guy you mean.
Aye. But he was standing there like that with a hat and a false moustache. He was funny. It was brilliant. So we got on the bus, up the back, and in the back seat, there's a boy. I never knew his name at the time. I now know his name is Andy Lindsay. I think you know him, Stephen.
Oh, yes.
As a boy, Andy Lindsay. And I hadn't even sat down. He put his hand out. How you doing? I said, I'm good, thanks. He said, thanks very much for doing the podcast. So we chatted. We had a good wee bit to chat on the way down the road. So in the back seat, Andy Lindsay, Stuart Arbuckle, and a guy I didn't know, but due to being one of the guys who can do world-famous Young Heart Trump Free research, I've sussed out this guy's name. His name is Gavin O'Reilly. And we were chatting away. Gavin O'Reilly was doing the cult walk the next day. Crazy mother. So he was doing that. But we chatted all the way down the road. They were brilliant crack. They had a good day out. Because that's what the fling can be. Just a good day out with your pals. Right? So they'd had that. We go back to Mulgay. Right? Get off the bus. Megan's very kindly agreed to come and pick me up because I'm staying with her at her house on a Saturday night. Getting to Megan's car, I hear Megan speaking to some folks. She's like, I get in. Because when you park up at Mulgay, the parking was at the rugby club. And the rugby club in the morning is a 5-8 minute walk. But after running 53 miles, it's a wee bit longer. It's about half a mile away, something like that. So I'm here, Megan saying, I get in. And here's Andy Lindsay, Stuart Arbuckle, and Gavin O'Reilly getting into Megan's car. Oh, it was brilliant. So,
got to meet John Casty's daughter as well.
They did.
Wow. And what a post race for them, by the way.
I heard Megan saying, I'm just here picking up my dad. And then I walked across the road and Andy went, is John Casty your dad? Oh, it was brilliant, man. Phenomenal. So, Megan dropped these guys off back at the rugby club. And then Megan said, is there anything you're wanting before we go up the road? I says, how are we not stop at a shop? I've got a couple of cans of beer. So that's exactly what we did. And I got back to Megan's. There was a couple of slices of pizza in my bag for the night before, Stephen.
Always prepared.
That got wellied with a couple of cans of Stella, man. Oh, I was in absolute heaven. I had a great day. Sorry to end it like that, but that was a fantastic bit. So thank you to Megan and Samara and Ziggy for putting me up on the Saturday night. It was brilliant. Great day.
Heroes. Ziggy especially.
Oh, he was in heaven because I hadn't had a shower and it was like crack cocaine for dogs. Ken, that salty thing. He was loving it, man.
Oh, licking your legs.
Licking everything.
Oh, geez, that's wet. Not on this show. Oh, man, well done, John. It was brilliant to track you and consume all your stuff on the socials. It's infectious, and that's for me also, as hopefully a few of the listeners as well are caught up in that as well. Just go and do things that you didn't think that you can do, and then you get these magical feelings. So come join us.
Exactly. And there was a few people doing the fling for the first time, and I can already sense from socials that's whetted their appetite for more, which I love. You know, we do stuff, we think maybe canny day, and then we achieve it, and then it's just that wee bit, right, how do we nudge the next wee bit? What can we do next? I love it, man. And the running community, the fling is a very, very special thing. I don't know if I've said it yet, but thank you so much to all the marshals, the volunteers, the race team. It's a really, really special event. And it's one of the things that if you're interested in running, ultra running, you've got to do that, man. It just enriches your life, days like that. But it doesn't just happen. There's a lot of effort goes into it. I've got to go back to the finish line. I was given my medal by Ambleside Aldo.
Aldo Maher, brilliant.
What a feeling that was, man. And no, some the medal was good, but the hug was brilliant. So thank you very much, Aldo. I love you, man.
A 7-seconder.
It might have even been more because I wasn't letting go.
You can love that. Well done, Aldo. Very, very fitting person to give you your medal at the end. John, we need a song from you for adding on to the playlist.
I have it. I was number 99, Stevie Boy. And some of the stuff I put it before, it's quite an obvious one. Nina, 99 Red Balloons. What a tune, man. Anthemic. I love it. So we'll get that one added in.
It's in already, man. Superb. And conscious of your time and how jaded you're looking.
Like a bag of shit.
You've got that post-long haul buzz about you. You're kind of didn't know what day of the week it is. It's Friday. We're recording this on Friday. Aye. And we're putting it out instantly. Such was our... There was a lot of folk asking, when are we hearing about John? In fact, last weekend it was the Loch Leven Half Marathon that Kinross Road Runners put on, which looked like another outstanding event. They've really grown that in a nice way. And they done brilliantly. They reached out to us actually to get a wee shot at our podium just for the finish line, which we were happy to accommodate. And Scott Strachan came down to pick it up. Scott ran the fling.
He's a keen
listener.
Brilliant.
And also another one of the lads who said it got warm and uncomfortable as well. Like I said earlier, that was a repeating story that I heard. But he was saying, "Where are we hearing from John?" And then we had messages as well. Do you know, when are we hearing about John's fling? And I'm like, hutch your horses. He's away with some important R&R. And now you've come back and told the tale. And I think the fact that it's a couple of weeks down the line will just reignite some of that for everybody who either took part, helped out organising, or were just invested in it in some way. And that's a load of people, because there's this entourage of folk who have just become almost professional dot watchers, trackers as well, who are into it all. So all those people. But if you ran it and, you know, you maybe didn't get the time that you wanted, then you can eat yourself up about it. It was warm. I think I was kind of looking at times going, those times are higher this year than normal because of how uncomfortably mild and muggy it was. There's other people who can just seem to adapt to it. Fucking winners. You know, yeah, the podiumers.
Definitely.
Elsie, Rowan, you know, but, you know, mortals.
Yeah. It was obvious on the day folk were struggling. It was ordinary the heat. That was a big thing that plays a factor. So, as we said at the very start of this, it doesn't matter if you're training or if it happens on a race day, you've just got to adapt and look after yourself. Notice what's happening with your body. Notice what's happening with your mind. And do what you've got to do. But it's been good to recount this. We would have liked to have done it, I suppose, in the few days afterwards, but I wasn't here.
But you're back now. Back for the home straight of season 10. And we've got some really, really good stuff planned to take us up to the season finale. Hang with us. We've got a great episode coming out next week that's will maybe be a wee bit related to the fling, so whet your appetite with that one. But I think that the loud and clear message that I'm getting for you, John, was one, doesn't surprise me this one, how much you enjoyed your day, especially retrospectively, you know, looking back at it. But two, that running maturity that we've spoken about before, where you're taking all these conversations and then golden nuggets that we've got, and then you're actually putting them into practice. No, I think if Young Hearts Run Free had been on the go, and it wasn't us when both you and I started ultramarathoning, we'd be fucking probably on podiums next week by now. To be fair, now age is kicking on as well. You got a PB at the fling 9 years after your debut at the fling. You know, that's 9 years wiser, but you're also body's 9 years older. So I think it double your PB amount to give it that more of a realistic.
I think, you know, even taking time with the equation, the experience and how I felt during the day is all due to the lessons learned and golden nuggets and taking on board stuff from our guests, but also stuff that we've spoke about, the things that you didn't even think about, but subconsciously it's getting in your head, you know. So it's very rarely the word maturity gets given to me genuinely, but you've given that this afternoon, and I take it because I do feel I'm a different person now than I was 9 years ago. So it was lessons learned. So thank you very much.
Onwards and upwards for here, John, 2024. Smashing it.
Bring it on. You and I in a little toy shop, buy a bag of balloons with the money we've got, set them free at the break of dawn, to one by one they were gone. Back at base, box in the software, flash the message, something's out there, floating in the summer sky. 99